Our scripture this morning is found in Acts 20, verse 24. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Thank you, Mildred. Once again, welcome to everyone. I just pray that the Holy Spirit touches each of us in a special way today as we meet together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give praise and honor to our God, who is everything to us. We're going to continue with the theme that we have from Sabbath school, and that is hope. And we've been told that we always don't need sermons. We don't always need to hear from the pastor every week. So that's the way it's going to be. We're going to hear from the ladies today. And we're going to continue our memory text from this morning, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. And that every man and woman, child, young adults, anyone that is living for Jesus, to be ready to give a reason for the hope that each and every one of us has. Let's have prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray that as the ladies speak out on the hope that they have, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be able to work in the lives of the congregation, and that as we go from this place, that we will truly be your representative, and that we will give this blessed hope to everyone that we encounter. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And as I said, the memory text goes well with our lesson, with our service today. You know, Ellen White quotes, "More often than not, a church is judged not on the basis of its theology or the sermons delivered by its ministry, but by the spontaneous witness of the church members in work or in deed." These sisters were asked ahead of time, so it's not so spontaneous for this. But Satan's tried to derail a service because I've asked other sisters, and for one reason or another, they're all weren't able to participate today. But I do have some sisters that will participate to come up here to give the reason for the hope that they have. And it will go out to any other sister that's here today if they would like to come up and give the reason that they have and the hope in Jesus Christ today. And brothers of the church, you're not going to be left out, because at a later time, you'll be able to get up here and give your reason for the hope that you have. The hope that we have that Jesus is coming again, and it's soon. He's prepared everything for us. He's going to take us out of this dark world, out of this darkness into the light. But yet we are to be the light here in the world now for him. And we'll start out with Sister Cola.
Good morning to each and every one. I'm going to start out and tell you what testimonies means. I got this out of the dictionary. Testimonies means evidence, proof, solemn declaration, writings or certificate bearing testimony to character. Being most fortunate to be born to a moral Christian father and mother, and in America. What a wonderful start in life. Knowing nothing about the evil in the world in my first part of life made it much easier, and what you don't know won't hurt you in this protected lifestyle. Knowing life is not a bed of roses and it's not a bowl of cherries was something just came to part of life. Being raised in a funeral home, you see life on another side, but having the loving side from birth on this was not a terrible or frightening thing. Witnessing many ways people come to act and think of death was not something to fear, as many did, but having a life, or having a background from early and all through life, was a feeling this is the way of life. Joining the Adventist Church was not a hard decision. Having gone to Sunday church each week made it easy from Sunday to Saturday. If I had not been used to going to church, it would have been seemed strange to go to a church on Saturday. Hank never was pushy, but just talked about the Bible and having it the way of life was very normal. So having this way of life was always normal, and it still is. We still have the hope always. All we have to do is study and pray. Prayer is the answer for all the hope that you want.
Thank you, Sister Kola. And now for one that don't know, Sister Arlene Harkness will give her hope that she has.
Before I start with my testimony, it is a great privilege to stand here before you this morning. My life hasn't always been exemplary, and I give much praise and honor to God and to Jesus Christ for my being here this morning. 4 or 5 years ago, I don't even want to think about it or discuss where I might have been on a Sabbath. And I'm just so thankful to Jesus Christ for shining his light in my life. And he must have put something in me from the beginning that made me recognize him when he spoke to my heart. And I made a few notes here. Dee's already covered the definition of testimony, but I looked it up in my son's college dictionary. And the fourth description, I can't even think, you know, I'm like nervous here. That it says it's the Decalogue as inscribed on the two tables of the law. And of course, we all know what that means. That's the Ten Commandments. So giving testimony is a very serious, solemn, and it should be heartfelt, and we should not make it a trivial thing. Like I was saying, this is as along with the privilege that it is to speak here, it's a huge responsibility because God is listening to every word I say. He's judging me on whether it's from my heart. And it is from my heart. And I love coming here on Sabbath. I never in my life thought I would ever love coming to church. And for my testimony, okay, my economic collapse, we hear a lot about that in the news now. My economic collapse came about 8 years ago. And I lost just about everything I had. I was going to have to live in my car. And life was not so full of hope and happiness for me. And to say there were some very, very dark days back there, and I had even thought and contemplated very seriously about taking my own life. And at the time that I heard the truth from the Adventist Church, I was on medication for depression, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, and I was a mess, and I'll be the first one to admit that. And I heard about the Adventist truth, about the Sabbath day. God had purposed it in my heart, or put it in my heart, to question why people went to church on Sunday instead of Sabbath, because after all, the Jewish nation were his chosen people, and he gave them the Sabbath. So why were we going to church on Sunday? So he had put that in my heart. And one day I was listening to the TV. When I first moved home to Gillette, I didn't even have a TV. But my daughter got me one, and I was listening to TV, and somehow Channel 21 came on, and there was Leo Shreven preaching. And apparently I had been looking for somebody with truth. I really think I was searching desperately. And there he was, and he answered all the questions that I had at that time, and about 50 more that I didn't even know I had. And I remember that moment in time that God would reach down and show me, worthless me, the truth, and that he would put it in my heart. I was so happy. Words cannot express the joy in my heart, because there was the truth, the Sabbath truth that's the key to it all. I'm so thankful. So there are no words to express how happy I am. I got up this morning and I was so happy to be able to come here to give my testimony that maybe Jesus could use me to speak to somebody somewhere to give them hope. We talked a lot about hope this morning. And before I heard the truth, before I called this church and was welcome into the congregation baptized, I was a hopeless case. And now I am so full of hope. I got up this morning and I came here and there were turkeys all over, there were deer all over, there was evidence of God everywhere, of Jesus. And spring is here, and I planted garden yesterday, and I'm just so happy, so full of joy. And we live for that blessed hope when our Lord and Savior will come again. And I long for that day now. I used to hide myself from it, but now I just long for that day, and I hope I'll be alive when Jesus comes again to receive us unto him.
Okay, thank you, Sister Harkness, and now Sister Doris Burgess.
I grew up in the country, and we never went to church, and I was about 50 years old before I found the church. I went to a Methodist church. I didn't learn anything there, and Jesse Case asked me if I wanted to take a Bible study. So I did, and at the same time, I was watching PTL with Jim Baker and Tammy. But all the things that I learned from them, I had to unlearn. And then we had a Bible study over here, Pastor Orsburn. So we came over to class, and I thought, oh, I'm learning so much. I think that I'll get all the knowledge I can here, but I'll still stay in my church. But you can't do that when you get to know the truth. And I praise God for giving me the little push to get me over here. Pastor Orsburn used to tell us, somebody's dragging their feet to be baptized. So there was 14 of us in them. Wayne Wasisco and Karen were in that class, 14 of us. And I've never been so happy since I found this church. I found a loving church. I went to my pastor, and I talked to him about it, and he told me the Seventh-day Adventist people were very nice people, but not to get mixed up with them. So God did work in my life, and he made it possible for Brian to go to church here through the 11th grade. And then he made it possible for him to go to Union Springs 2 years. And the Lord worked in a mighty way. And then he went on to college, and today he's a pastor. And I'm very thankful, because at that time I was a single mother, and I sent him over to Southside one time, and 1 month it took me to know that he had to go back over to the Adventist school. I wasn't going to be able to handle him. So anyway, God worked miracles for us. And I have always been happy here and joyful. I've never thought about ever leaving this church. And there's been a lot of things going on, and Jesus saw that I had a job to take care of my children all the time. Even before I knew him, he was working for me. And so I had a job to take care of my children. And also, when my brother had their tragedy, Jesus came in and filled my heart with love. Even the people that had done that to them, I have a love for them, because they don't know what they're doing. Jesus says, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And some people might not know what happened there, but someone set a fire up on 3rd Street, and my niece and nephew died from the fire, and my brother died eventually too. So God has filled my heart with love and compassion, and I have no bad feelings about anyone. And Jesus means all the world to me. And I think if everybody in the world would give their heart to Jesus, we would have a pretty good world. But it's not going to work that way. But I do thank him and praise him this morning. I love to get up in the morning and do my Bible study and sing and spend my time with him at least an hour and a half in the morning. And it gives me peace. I have peace of mind and love like I never had before. So I praise him and thank him this morning for all his goodness and mercy.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Burgess. I see Maria's in the audience. Maria, would you stand up, please? Maria is Jason's mother, and her testimony is today that she has finally taken her stand for the Sabbath. And several weeks ago, she told her employer that she would no longer work on the Sabbaths, and she's been here every week since. So we need to keep praise the Lord for that, and to keep her in our prayers, so that everything will continue to work in her life. At this time, is there any sister that would like to come up here and give their testimony, their reason for the hope that they have? Sister Sue Hayshi.
I'd like to do a short Bible story or a Bible study with you. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, we can read together about some of the kinds of people that God calls. He calls everyone, don't you know? So you might find yourself in this list. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. And if you don't mind, I'll start reading. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. And for those ladies who are very sensitive, not being included, when I read this, I consider it as saying people, men. All right. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I'm one of those people that God has called. And as I shared with a couple of sisters, I don't know that I'm converted yet, but I know that God's been working with me for an awfully long time, and I praise him for what he's done in me. If you'll go to Exodus chapter 20, I'm sure many of you are very familiar with these words. They're the Ten Commandments. It's worded a little bit differently in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but we'll go to Exodus 20. And verse 1, it says, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, or Jehovah thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I've broken that commandment for many years. I struggle with it daily. Many of us struggle with having self on the throne. God will give us the victory, because my Bible also says that death is the last enemy to be done away with. So if we struggle with self being on the throne, God will give us complete, absolute, permanent victory over self. I will overcome with the help of Christ. I cannot do it on my own. And all of us, when we stand before the Lord, will stand corrected. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm learning to keep God's commandments, aren't you? And it's wonderful when we know that we can't do it ourselves, that it's God working in us to help us to do his will. I've broken that commandment too, by the way. I never bowed down to a statue or anything like that I can recall. But sometimes we make images in our minds that are very, very strong. But I also know that in the Bible it says that we can cast down imaginations and any high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Every stronghold can be pulled down with the help of Christ. And we can bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How many of us have said, oh, I'm a Christian, and then done something that Christians ought not to do? I have. I've broken that commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shall, and also taking his name in vain by using it as a cuss word or using it vainly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. And about 14 years ago or so, I had left a church to take a summer vacation away from where I was living. I was in Buffalo, New York. And I was going to a Sunday church, and I learned an awful lot. And like our sister just before me said, a lot I had to unlearn, and I'm still unlearning a lot of that. But you know, God is so kind. He's so good. But when he showed me about the Sabbath day, I was trying, when I went on a vacation, I decided I'd keep one day aside, and I wouldn't work for money or anything like that, and I'd just spend it with the Lord. And I figured Sunday would be the day that was the most logical for me. And I always had a difficult time of getting work off on Sunday. But when I started to get it off, I decided to quit that job because they just kept on putting me on Sundays. But you know, that was all right because God showed me, he brought me to a Seventh-day Adventist church and brought me to a Sabbath school where I started to learn about God's holy Sabbath. So he had already been preparing my heart to keep his Sabbath. Isn't God so wonderful? He knows how to prepare for us the way that we should. And sometimes I still struggle with that, getting the house ready for Sabbath and all that. But God is kind, and he'll teach us how to use our mouths on the Sabbath day, to not talk of common things. And he'll help us to not do any work. And he'll convince us, each of us. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now that's a law with a promise, and that's almost like the first commandment, only now you're applying it to men, to people. Honor your father and your mother. Well, what if your father and your mother aren't terribly honorable, or one of them isn't honorable, or one of them was never there? We can still honor them as we honor our God. We honor our Heavenly Father, and we will learn to honor our parents. Some of us have had problems with worshiping our parents. We're not to worship our parents. When I was 40 years old, the Lord showed me the difference between worshiping and honoring my parents. And I was given the honor of sitting them down and telling them that I was very sorry that I had been worshiping them. And do you know, even though my dad has generally been argumentative when I've mentioned God. He sat there and he was so pleased and he listened and I said my piece and he was very happy that I said that. And it just took a load off of me and a load off of him. Because you see, God's commandments are not burdensome. But when we do our own way, that's where we carry our burdens and get more burdens and more burdens. God's commandments are not burdensome. And the Bible even says so in 1 John. Thou shalt not kill. I haven't done it with my hands, but I've done it with my mouth. I've broken that commandment. I still struggle with it. But God is kind, and he catches me now before the words come out of my mouth. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I've done this. We've done it in our minds, perhaps. Maybe not all of us. We don't have to break every single one of the commandments in practice or in thought. Maybe some of you haven't committed adultery. But in our minds, some of us have been raised with that sort of a mentality. But God is so good. He'll wash us clean. And then God will say, you shall not commit adultery. I don't have to anymore. Not in my thoughts. This was before, and in practice, before I got married, I was like a lot of other people. There is an adulteress and a murderer speaking to you. Are you still willing to listen? Because it's the word of God that has the power to recreate a human being, to make a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thou shalt not steal. I remember when I was a little girl, I stole a roll of Lifesavers. And then later on, I asked my dad, what happens when people steal? And he said, oh, the taxes go up, the prices go up. And this was over 40 years ago. So even back then, just the economics of stealing is very, very bad. But what a burden it puts on a person's heart. But God is so kind, and he helps us to make things right. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I've broken that too. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I've broken that too. You know, in James it says that if you've broken one commandment, you've broken all of them. You've broken the law. This is God's holy commandment law. Now, I want to share with you a transcript of my character that the Lord shared with me several years ago, and I'll quit. I'm sorry, I don't mean to go so long. But you'll find it in, let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's the first few verses. I'll just read it quickly. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now this is why Jesus came to save us. This is the transcript of my character. We've just read this transcript of God's character, and now we'll read mine. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When the Lord showed me this, and we went word by word in this passage, when the Lord showed me this, my question was, how do I turn away from myself? This is what conversion is. It is not comfortable. It is not easy. And it can only be done with God's help. From such turn away. This is the character that I long to display in my heart. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first three verses also I was convicted of. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and I say to my children that that is God's pure, unselfish love. If I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, God's pure unselfish love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. This is what I long to have in my heart always. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It doesn't mean when it feels like it, when it's convenient. It just is kind under every circumstance. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doesn't promote self, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And then down in verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, and the first verse of chapter 14, follow after charity, God's pure, unselfish love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And my testimony is, I know that God has called me, I know that God has not done with me, but I have an ever-growing conviction of my need for Christ every day, all day. And it's not good enough just to say, oh, I believe. I believe that when Jesus comes, that those of us that truly love him, that we'll be like him, and that's how we'll recognize him. So, and I praise God. I thank him that he's given me another day of breath and that he can work with me.
Thank you, Sister Hashi. And we'll close with Sister Joyce Schmalko.
I, too, looked up testimony in the... Yeah, I did. And it says that it's a public statement of my faith in God. And I also like to express appreciation for grandparents and the influence they have. Actually, this is a history of my life, and of the influence of the Bible, and of those who taught me from the Bible. I have many examples of observing those who practice their faith in God. I was born and raised in Concord, North Carolina, in the Bible Belt of the South. Everyone read their Bible, and they tried to live according to the Bible. I was baptized in church as an infant. But my grandpa questioned baptism. He said dedication was more appropriate, similar to Jesus taken as an infant to church and dedicated. I grew up attending Sunday school, always. I remember going with my brothers and my cousins and my family, and, well, our church name down there was Harmony. It was a large white building with a steeple pointing to heaven. And it was the only one in that area of the country because there was nothing down there but people and land. It was founded by a circuit-riding preacher in the late 1880s. Maybe you've heard the song by Roy Rogers about the circuit-riding preacher went riding around the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. I grew up with that. Well, this preacher had other churches to take care of, similar to our preacher. And he needed preacher men to fill in, similar to our elders. My grandpa Tom was a preacher man. And my grandma Berthy played the church organ and the piano and was a Sunday school teacher. When Grandpa Tom took his turn to fill in for the sermon, afterwards he would stand at the door, and we young'uns would gather over on the other side to listen. Because as the people came out, one man would say to my grandpa, well, Tom, you should have said such and such. Or another would say, hey, Tom, you talk too long. Well, grandpa would just stand there and he'd wait. And he'd shake his hand and he'd say, I'm not perfect. We only had one perfect man and we crucified him. We could keep from laughing. Grandpa got him. He told him. Good for him. Well, my mother's sister, let's see. I'm a little mixed up here. Three, four. Oh, the circuit ride preacher was a Methodist by denomination and was similar to an evangelist going around settling houses, churches. Now, the Methodist baptized by sprinkling water on the head. But when Grandpa Tom's turn came to baptize, he referred to the Bible and to Jesus baptized in the Jordan River. So we all went to the river and we stood on the bank, and when Grandpa and the candidates went into the river, we stood and sang hymns of praise. We were Baptists. Then in the early 1930s, the Depression. No jobs, no money. My daddy was a carpenter, but there was no building, no repairs, no money. My mother's sister, her husband also lost his job. So my grandparents offered their two daughters with their husbands and seven young'uns to come back home. My cousin Betty and I, plus one or two little ones, shared one bed, and our four brothers shared the other bed. Grandma Berthy would come in when we were ready to go to sleep, and she would read a Bible story, and then we'd all kneel at the bedside and pray with Grandma's help. On the wall was a large picture of a guardian angel, and Grandma Berthy would remind us we each had a guardian angel, even if we couldn't see them. But Jesus sends them for our protection. And she said, if we're good and we get to heaven, we're going to meet our guardian angels and find out what their names and such. Well, in the morning, Grandma Berthy and our two mothers would fix breakfast, and Grandpa Tom would come in from the field, lead us in saying grace, as we did before every meal. Now, as we ate, Grandpa Tom would read something from the Bible, and we young'uns called it breakfast with the Bible. Well, there was one question that Grandpa Tom had. He read the Ten Commandments about Sabbath being the seventh day. He read about Jesus going to church on the Sabbath or seventh day. And he would look at the calendar and he'd say, Saturday is the seventh day. Why do we go on Sunday? He never lived to get an answer. Grandma had different things. She told us about angel unaware. And during the Depression, poor men would come to the door and beg for food for their families. And Grandma would give them enough food. And one of the boys would say, hey, Grandma, you gave away our supper. And Grandma would say, God provides. And she would remind me that God sent this person, might have been an angel unaware, to test her to see if she was kind. And another expression said, God would provide, so we always had food. Sometimes later, my Uncle Willie Van told my daddy of a job opening at the Ward Baking Company in Brooklyn, New York. We're in North Carolina. Well, Daddy went with him, and he got the job. And after he saved enough money, he came for us, and we were, according to my grandma, transplanted to Brooklyn, New York. Now, Daddy's mother, Grandma Annie, attended the local Presbyterian church because there was no Baptist church in walking distance. And then she took all six of us, our three and my three cousins. She took us to Sunday school, and we stayed for church service, and we attended regularly and listened. Next came World War II. I was in nursing school, and several of our RNs went to war. So three of us senior students were chosen to replace them. And I was in charge of the male medical ward. Had some 25, 30 patients. At Christmas time, a businessman was admitted to our city hospital, and he had private duty nurses. One night, this blonde, blue-eyed, handsome male RN came on duty. His name was Andy. I had difficulty with his last name because it was Slovak. Well, Andy was very helpful and very polite. And when the patient was ready for discharge, Andy asked me for a date. And I said no. And he asked why. I said I told him I was busy studying for my upcoming RN license examination, and in my spare time, I'd go home and help my mama with the young'uns and the housework. Well, he kept phoning, and when he offered to help me with my studies, I accepted. Now, during these studies, invariably, a reference to the Bible and what was in it occurred. And I was impressed how much he knew. I told Andy of my Grandpa Tom's question about Sabbath being the Saturday. Well, surprise, Andy told me that day was never changed. It's still there, and he told me how Sabbath was still observed because he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he invited me to church, and of course I went. After we married, I joined Seventh-day Adventist Church, and here I am 50 years later, and I thank God.
Thank you, Sisters Malco. I want to thank the ladies for coming up here and giving their reasons for their hope. And we will do this again. As I said, brothers, the next time it's going to be your turn. Just when that date is, I don't know yet. But we know that we had that blessed hope. In the second coming, our Lord and Savior is going to come after us. And I just want to thank God for all the ladies of the church that we have, all the sisters that, and to me, the church cannot be run without women. We have the women and ladies. And one of the things that we can see for the ladies is Sabbath is the potluck dinners that we have. I know that there's a couple of men that provide the food also. So we thank God for them also. But for the ladies and all the work that they do for the church here in Elmira, we just want to thank them for that.
Let us bow our heads for the prayer. Heavenly Father, today, we pray in your name today, Lord Jesus, and we thank you so much for the service that we had and the testimonies that we heard. I thank you, dear Lord, today for this church, Lord, and the members here. I ask for a blessing for each and every one today, Lord, when we leave the church, Lord, that we remember, Lord, that you were our Savior. And to watch over us this week, Lord, I ask for a blessing for each and every one as we leave next week, Lord, to watch over us and give us all a special blessing for ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.